Learned on the show in the past that friendship can take a lot of different forms, from best friends to friends maybe you only do one specific activity with, like meeting to play a sport. What if we expanded our idea of friendship even more to consider something we might not normally think about, being friends with someone from a different generation, someone older or younger than ourselves? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have intergenerational friendships, friends who are significantly older or younger than you? How did you meet? Why do you like being friends with people from different age groups? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ellen Lem is professor of English and honors program coordinator at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Waukesha. She's the author of the book Gray Matters, Finding Meaning in the Stories of Later Life. Ellen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show for this really interesting topic.
Well, what do you think are some of the benefits to having friendships with people who are, you know, not in our own age cohort?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a really good question, and I went today just to get some ideas thinking about it to the website of the Eisner Foundation, and that's really, they really emphasize intergenerational relationships, and there was a quote that really struck me, is that sometimes it's a good way to find one's kindred spirit, and I just thought that was a really good beginning way to start the conversation, is that we are so often trained to think of that the only people that we'll have someone in common with will be people our own age. And yet, you know, you can look around at people who have the same age and realize that that is no indication. So I think instead matching up with people of common interest can be really rich, as well as there's just a lot of studies on the benefits both for the old and for the young in terms of finding this kind of connection, especially as people experience loneliness, both young and old.
We've heard on the show in the past that people have a hard time sometimes finding friends, period. Can you talk about how hard it could be to find friends maybe of different age groups who we might not normally run into in the social activities, say, that we do on a regular basis?
Right. I mean, I think it really takes first just opening up one's eyes and perspectives, because they do feel as if we're all sort of trained to our age group alone. And so, for example, instead of just thinking of, you know, I could only be friends with somebody who is of my same age group, expanding that. For example, I started doing a water Tai Chi class with my mom at the YMCA, and it is mostly seniors who are in there. But once I was in the water and started talking to people, we formed all kinds of connections. And now I see somebody coming to class who's pregnant, and we're of all different, you know, backgrounds and ages. And it really is taking those blinders off that we self-impose that says either this activity is only for this age or this person and I must not have anything in common because, you know, we're clearly of different generations. So some of it is, you know, individuals have to do on their own and, you know, pursue what they love without thinking about age being attached to it.
I know you watch pop culture a lot for how it portrays older people in particular. I want to give a listen to a new show from HBO. It's getting a lot of buzz. I don't have HBO. I haven't seen it. It's called Hacks, and it includes main characters with an intergenerational, I don't know if it's a friendship, at least at the start, but intergenerational
<They're working on it.
laughs> relationship. Yeah, here's a listen.
You see that antique shop there?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to go in there, and I want you to buy this for me.
I'm sorry, what is that?
That is a Jean Royer pepper shaker, and I want it, but I can't go in. He'll gouge me. You'll get a much better deal.
My God, that's why we drove all the way out here. You didn't want to spend time getting to know each other. You just wanted a pepper shaker mule.
Bit of a non-traditional work relationship, but workplaces are one place where at least sometimes we interact with people from different generations. Can that be a good meeting starter, a good intergenerational friendship finder?
Yeah, absolutely. In different ways. I remember a couple of years ago when I was teaching a class on aging and my students had to interview somebody who was in their 70s or 80s. And one of my students said she worked at a bar and she said didn't have any relatives. And she said, well, I'm really friendly with this regular customer. Can I interview him? And I said, absolutely. So, you know, sometimes it's, you know, whether one person is working, the other is a regular, but since now we have people over 65 in the workplace like never before, there are all kinds of opportunities. I know my son worked in Madison at the Union in the there was an art studio there, and that his coworkers were many decades older than himself. But I think that there are interesting connections that can come from the workplace. So I agree. I think that that's an excellent starting place.
Talking to Ellen Lem from UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha, looking at intergenerational friendships. You can join in with your stories, experiences, maybe at 800-642-1234. A lot of you are calling in, so let's hear from you now. Lisa starts us off in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share that when we lived in England, I volunteered with an organization called Age UK. And we were matched up with an elderly individual in the community who maybe didn't have family or couldn't get out. And I was in my mid-40s, and I was matched up with the most amazing woman in her 90s, telling me stories about living through the bombing of London and then going into the underground, her philosophy of life and the things that I learned from her have really propelled me to continue to maintain friendships with older people when we moved back to the States. And I just found it invaluable and, you know, a wonderful experience.
Lisa, did you manage to find a similar matchmaking service in the U.S., or did you have to do some of the legwork on your own?
I did the legwork on my own, but I've often thought it would be something I've thought about starting and looking into establishing, because it really was such an amazing experience.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Lisa. Ellen, so she in England found, in the UK, found a matchmaking service to actually intentionally help build these intergenerational friendships. Good idea?
Oh, I think it's an excellent idea. And I do know that there are organizations, I know there's something called Newbridge here that does that kind of match up. And what I love what Lisa shared was that oftentimes that people have an idea of, like, oh, I'm going to volunteer and help the elderly. I'm going to help someone older by volunteering. But what her experience indicates, and I think a lot of people as well, it's a reciprocal relationship that the person who is maybe younger and, you know, may be doing it at first, like out of the goodness of their heart to perhaps, you know, be with people who have less company. But the riches that they take in terms of hearing those stories and learning from their experience is just really invaluable.
Thanks for that call, Lisa, at 800-642-1234. Let's hear now from AJ in Eau Claire. AJ, hello.
Hi there. Yeah, I am really glad you guys are putting on this program. So I've always tried to make friends that are older than me just because they are much smarter than me, and I love to learn from other people's experiences. At one point in my life, in like the last decade, I needed short-term housing. And so I just on a whim put a request out for housing on Craigslist and was answered by this older person. He's 67 now, and I was very reluctant at the time, but he rented out rooms in his house. And it was supposed to be just 2 weeks that I would rent from him. But I ended up staying with him and the other people that he rented from for 2.5 years.
Wow.
And we became such good friends and have vacationed together. And he is the most important person in my life, and actually walked me down the aisle last summer.
Aww.
And so, it's just really important to go outside of your comfort zone and learn things from people that have lived experiences and want to get to know you.
Wow. AJ, thank you so much for sharing that. 2 weeks ended up being 2.5 years and getting walked down the aisle, Ellen.
Yeah, that's such a fantastic story. And I really like, too, the way that you put it, AJ, about, you know, your first impression was like, oh, this is strange or this is odd, you know, which is what a lot of us have been trained to believe. Like, oh, you know, this person is like outside of my comfort zone, exactly as you put. But once you can get past that, there is sort of infinite possibilities of connection. And I'm so glad that that individual had the idea to put the room for rent and that, you know, you found each other. It seems like it was really kind of a moment of fate, but both of you also just being willing to open up your boundaries of what normally conventional friendship looks like.
Thanks so much for that call, AJ. And bringing things back to pop culture, Ellen, I mean, that sounds like a pitch for a sitcom almost. Right. And I know you have concerns about the way aging and older people are portrayed in popular culture. What are some of the red flags you worry about when we watch a show where, you know, a sitcom writer might have taken that scenario?
Right. Well, it did come up in, I'm thinking of the Betty White TV show, that was something in Cincinnati. It's not one that I've studied, but I know a little bit about Betty White. And oftentimes when older people are portrayed on TV and movies, it's often with exaggerated characteristics. They're made into be comical. And it's like really hard to tell sometimes, are we laughing with them? Are we laughing at them? And so that's one problem. Another one is like that setting up sort of a generational antagonism. There's a show that came out recently called The Politician, and in it, Judith Light plays somebody running for Senate, Dee Dee Standish, and she's challenged by a young NYU student. And there's just so much antagonism between young and old, and the jokes fly. And I just feel as if that doesn't help us, that that's going to perpetuate those stereotypes that people who are in different age categories have nothing in common.
We're continuing our talk now with Ellen Lam, professor of English at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha, author of the book Gray Matters, Finding Meaning in the Stories of Later Life. We're talking about intergenerational friendships, and you could join in to share your own stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Stevens Point. Jim, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. In Stevens Point at the university, the radio station is run by students and has students hosting college alternative radio during the day. But on weekends and in the evenings, they have community volunteers that get to volunteer their talents to host shows. And I've been doing that for about 25 years, and I've been able to make friends with students at the university as well as other community volunteers. And it's been a great opportunity to make friendships with people not my age.
Jim, thanks so much for sharing that story. Ellen, volunteering can be a great opportunity to meet people, I imagine, from different age groups.
Absolutely. And, you know, in addition, just the idea of the universities, they are such a great place for people to come together. Older people can audit classes oftentimes for free. I have had students in my classes, up to someone who was in his 90s, actually taking the class for credit because he had never gotten his bachelor's degree. And it really infuses a classroom to have people who have had real-world experience and come in and share their ideas. So both through volunteering and university settings, lectures in fine arts, book festivals, those are all really great places to meet somebody outside of one's age, but with a lot of things shared in common.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jim, at 800-642-1234. With that example of how you've met people intergenerationally, that's 800-642-1234. If you have a story to share. Ellen, you pointed us toward a new movie called Here Today about an unexpected friendship. Here's a bit of the trailer with a couple of friends-to-be, I guess, meeting in a restaurant.
Thank you for bidding on me in the auction.
I am so flattered that somebody your age would be a fan of my work.
I don't know who the hell you are. My ex really wanted to meet you, so he bid.
How much?
$22.
$2,200? That's fantastic.
$22. It started at $20, and then it went up in 50-cent increments.
why are you pointing this toward? This sounds like fun. Why are you pointing this toward this movie, Ellen?
Well, it is an unconventional friendship. Billy Crystal plays a veteran comedy writer, a widow, who, because of sort of almost like an accidental connection through this auctioning, meets somebody who is many years younger than him and a very different profession. She's a New York street singer and played by the very talented, very funny Tiffany Haddish. And what's really neat about the movie is that while they don't seem to share much in common, it's not a case of friendship about common interests, but it is still people can find a connection. And in this movie, she is able to bond with him in a way that his family isn't, that he puts up some types of barriers. He's losing some of his mental faculties, and he is afraid to come clean with his family. But somebody who's a little bit of an outsider, who doesn't have that, but who just has a big heart, they make each other laugh, they enjoy each other's company, and he can be real with her in a way that he can't with others who look up to him as being a role model because he had this celebrated career. So I think a lot of lessons come from that movie about intergenerational friendship. And it's just newly released. I just saw it last weekend.
We're talking about friendships between generations with Ellen Lem, professor of English at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. She's the author of Gray Matters, Finding Meaning in the Stories of Later Life. If you have an intergenerational friendship story to share, still time for you at 800-642-1234. If you encountered a busy signal earlier, that line has opened up now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ellen, for generations, we've talked about concerns about a generation gap, inability to understand younger people understanding older people or people my age even, you can call it older, I guess, worried about kids today. How can these kind of friendships help bridge those maybe misconceptions we have about each other?
Yeah, and I think that's really what I am finding interesting about the television show Hacks, because the convention of the show is that the long diva-type comedy performer played by Jean Smart, people are feeling like, oh, her act is old. We need to bring in some like new talent. So they hire somebody in her 20s. And so on the surface, it seems as if, okay, we're going to have this infusion because they're so different. But despite their differences, there's so much commonality that comes across, and even in their antagonism, but so much that they share, that it really shows us that these are arbitrary when we make these statements about boomer generation or the millennials are. They're sort of like creations of our own that putting up barriers that are really not necessary, because there's more that links human beings together than what separates us.
Let's go back to our callers now. Gordon is with us in La Crosse. Gordon, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to call and let you know when my story is about intergenerational friendships. A neighbor of mine invited me to the Cheeseland Duke Band, which met every week at the Moose Club in La Crosse. I went there and it was pretty crazy, about 50 people every week getting together to play ukulele. Most of them were over 60. And that turned out to be one of the most fun part of it, as being with people not of my age group, appreciating each other and each other's talents. It was pretty cool before COVID.
And hopefully you can get back to it again, Gordon. Thank you so much. Yeah, Ellen, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm really glad with that call, because it is a reminder about our neighborhoods, too. And now that we are all sort of coming out of hibernation again after COVID and getting to see our neighbors again, I mean, neighborhoods are a great place. I know here in Waukesha, where I live, that my neighbors, you know, next door are people that have babies, and I know people on the block who are in their 80s, and we look out for each other. Those conversations that we have casually in the street are great opportunities to realize that everybody's got these stories and that are worth sharing with one another, even though we're at different points in life. So it was great to hear that neighborhood story and, you know, with the ukulele connection about, you know, because I do think that music is a great unifier. And that's another pop culture example that won a couple of Academy Awards was this movie Sound of Metal about a drummer who loses his hearing. And he eventually he finds someone who's like a mentor to him who had also lost his hearing late in life and who also is in recovery from drugs and alcohol. And you really see how helpful it is that somebody who has had some experiences to help lead the way to a younger person. So that was another a really good example of intergenerational friendships.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Ellen Lem from UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha, author of the book Gray Matters. She joined us to talk about intergenerational friendships.